Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara. I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Here we are. Hello.
Here we are again.
Here we are again. Devin,
what do you have for us this evening?
They can't middle.
That's it. They can't middle.
Like crickets.
You know, I'm waiting for like more. I'm like, okay.
All right. That's it.
They can't middle.
Yeah. They can't middle.
Can't middle. You're I don't understand.
It's a riddle.
They can't middle. Obviously that could be a lot of things, but what's the context?
It's very simple.
They can't middle.
It's a joke I saw or I was bringing up yesterday at work. It's from Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David. He's discussing the middling, or if someone can't middle, it's when you get trapped at like a gathering or a dinner where the people in the middle aren't good at middling. People into the conversation.
It was right on the tip of my brain. I was like, I remember this from something that you said, but I couldn't put it figure out. I was like,
But yeah, I love it. So they
we talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Either it's not interesting enough. They're not interesting enough to pull everyone in, or I guess that's it. You just don't have, you can't.
Yeah. Know. Right. Right. Yeah, I think we were talking about that because we were at the diner for Corinne's birthday, and all of our family was there. And you and I were like sitting in the middle of the table across from each other. And we're like, I was like, I love being in the middle because I love it to be one big conversation, you know, like bring everyone in. And you're like, yeah, you got to be able to middle if you're in the middle. You got to be that connector. They can't middle. I like that. I think that's good. That's one of those things that like, that's something that I've always done. I've always been like the in-between, like bringing people in. Like, I think that's kind of my like group of friends from college and high school and our brothers, you know, we're always like, let's bring people in and make them part of the group, you know?
No, that's true.
We're those middle guys.
Yeah. Even though if I have to do it, it's kind of, if it's necessary, like I don't want to.
Right.
Unless it's someone if it's friends you're comfortable with, then it's fine. But everyone can kind of middle then. Right. But if it's like a social thing, I don't want to do it. But if there's no one else, I'm like, all right, let's like get something interesting going here. Like, what are you into? Like, what are we doing? You start to like mix it up, try to tell a crazy, kind of weird, like really weird story.
Yeah.
Just to get everyone like, oh man, like, all
right. Yeah, right. Get something going. Yeah, I think that's that, like, you know, specifically what we talked about, it was at a table when you have a bunch of people. And I don't like being on the ends because being a part of the other end conversation. You know, I want to be, I want to like, I prefer like a square table or a round table because then everyone is part of it. You know, you can have one big conversation rather than like the bar in Seinfeld, you know, like we never said the bar, you know, like. Everyone's down. You don't know who's here. Like, Elaine, when did she get here? When did Kramer get here? You know, down at the end. Who's down there? What's happening? Yeah. No, I like being in the middle. I like being an inclusive member of a group. Pull people in.
Well, then
call them by their name. You know, someone's like, oh, they said my name. Joe, come on over, man.
But you know what that trick is when people say your name too much, because then you know it's an angle.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So Mike, what do you think? Mike.
You're like, all right.
I understand. You know my name. We've connected that way. I see what you're doing here. You keep saying it at the beginning of every sentence. Well, Mike.
Mike, what do you think, Mike?
Mike. Now let me tell you.
Gone too far.
I got it. You got it. You remembered it. Well done. Let's move on.
You're like, just because not all of us can remember everyone's names.
Yeah. Well,
you have to rub it in.
Fucking show off.
You're like, what's your name again?
Yeah, no, okay, I don't know you. I don't care to know you. Okay, hang on. I think we're at a delay, Dust, and I I don't have a bottle opener. I can't find my B-cone bottle opener.
All right. I don't know how we gain a delay in time. Something with...
If we keep resetting it, we'll go into the future. I've heard all this before. I know exactly what middle is. So far now.
All right, so you got your bottle opener. We hopefully no longer have a delay. I don't know where it comes from, but...
Comes from.
Gain and lose time.
Time.
Everyone who thinks we're just sitting across from each other in the studio now knows the secret.
We're miles away.
Miles. So, yeah. So, we could talk about our what we've been kind of brainstorming back and forth on, which is the what we actually started thinking about last podcast, which is the Bro Drop trailer.
Oh, yeah. I forget the name. Bro Drop.
Yeah, the old Bro Drop.
Yeah. So, we came, I don't know if, I think I was thinking of it, but then, it kind of came to us at last episode. So, continuing that story. So, we reached out to a company. I wanted to find an American-made local, or at least one with a local factory. So, we found one where there's a factory within, 2 or 3 hours of us. Yeah. And then I looked at their stuff and all their lists. All the lists said that they were, one of the top brands and... all their stuff looked quality. So my thought was what we've been wanting to do is reach out to someone, get them to partner / sponsor it.
Right.
They give us the trailer, and then our series of videos will be, sponsored by you, or we'll say your name, and you'll constantly be on camera. The whole thing is focused on your trailer.
Right. Yeah.
And I also tacked on hey, if you want to show us around, that'd be cool too. See all the guys building these trailers, in your workshop or in your factory. What a great way to start the series is to go to an American factory and watch skilled craftsmen do their work and talk to somebody and then drive away with the product.
Yeah, I like it.
Like we always say, if you're not going to pay $30 for a cup, a glass.
Right.
A juice glass, or maybe you will, but you will if you see the guy blow it in front of you.
Right, yeah.
If he's making it in front of you, then you're like, that's great. So the hope was it's great content to go to a factory and see how it's made, but then it also helps whoever we're working with. So people go, I will look into that trailer brand.
Right, and I think... There's a popularity level to people making trailers right now. There are a lot of different content creators that are making trailers and doing things, and I think, having something like that where we can go up and check out what they do, it's that like you said, that look into the craftsmanship. You see the people, you see the time and effort that goes into it. You see the level of, detail that people are looking at and doing. One of the companies that I think that does a really good job at that and has started, I would say in the last year and a half or so, is Nick's Boots out on the West Coast. They have a whole YouTube channel now, and they put out a video every week or every 2 weeks on just making a boot or redoing a boot. And they're just always putting out content on building these boots. And the boots are, $200, $300, $400, $500, depending on what you get. But people are willing to pay that when they know that it's a handcrafted thing that, has time and money has gone into making sure the product is the best it can be.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people want. And then people, like you said, are willing to pay more money because you see that it's actually made by someone who cares about what they're doing and you see the personality behind it. Yeah.
Right. So when we're asking these people for something for free, you're trying to balance the line of not just saying, hey, give us your product. But you're also trying to show that you have something to offer, or at least have an idea of what you want to do. And I'm not trying to steal from anybody. We want to make something mutually beneficial. Right. So, but one of those trailers, we're looking at a 6x12, I think, is a good, small to medium sized trailer where we can fit, we can talk about in a minute, what we want to do. I'm excited. Yeah, so I'm so pumped. But something like that where you could almost, if you needed to, you could pull it with one of our SUVs, but probably one of our trucks, you know.
Yeah,
but, you know, under 5,000 pounds for sure, you know. So you need something that can, is capable of that. And they're like, they're around between $5,000 and $8,000 for a new storage trailer.
Right. Yeah.
So that's money wise, that's what we're asking. And I mean, a lot of people, a lot of channels just ask $5,000 just to start out, just to get any, to for a sponsor.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So I think it's fair if we do a whole series.
Yeah.
And, I think so too. And then you're not, we're not just asking for cash. I think it's better to ask for the, and easier on them to ask for the product. We want your product. It's not just like whatever.
Yeah, we're just doing a random video and sponsored by this company.
Sponsored,
you know,
by
some mobile
game. They
get 30 seconds, you know.
Right, right.
We're, yeah, no, they're going to get the entire episode is about their thing, you know.
They're going to get
multiple
the whole series.
Episodes. Yeah, right. Right.
And then another point was, I said, we're going to take it to all these places where all these other makers and people and influencers and blah, blah, blah are at, where they're going to, we're going to want to show it off.
Yeah,
you know, like if we pull it up, we're gonna be like, "Hey, check, come on in!" Like all these things pulled down and little cots and this and that, and we'll have a like a mobile like podcast studio where we can bring people in and, you know, beer on tap, something crazy like that. Just good for content and fun to build and make and try to figure out.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's like I think it's a great idea when you first talked about it. I was like, "Oh, that'd be so fun." But then the more we like talked about it and thought about it, I'm like, well, this is actually pretty feasible and it can be a pretty versatile space. You know, like you said, like maybe doing something with a podcast or, you know, setting it up so it can be, you know, beds that fold up and down. So you open up the space, you have like, you could do like a podcast studio. You could probably, you know, also do like a sound system in it so we can play music, you know, we can do like pull out the projector and, you know, play a video on the side of it, of the trailer, you know, big white screen. Like, you know, I think it can be a pretty like, a versatile thing. And then also being able to bring along materials for like bow making demonstrations or knife making or whatever, you know, whatever it is that we want to do. It can also bring that stuff to act as a trailer as well as a mobile house.
Cause when I was looking into it, you can buy like a very base small trailer. Like a lot of people do a Harbor Freight thing where they get a kit for like $500.
Right.
But then the money is in building a watertight structure.
Right.
Which is hard to do and something that you know is sturdy and like you're okay with living in and being on top of. And like, you know, and it just seemed it was a lot of work to get to a point of a quality structure and a lot of welding, which we don't have the skills for that.
Right.
To be welding all this bar and bending steel or aluminum. Like we're just not set up for that type of thing. So then yeah, the next best thing is to get a storage travel trailer that you see like landscapers use or people with equipment. And then now people are turning them into trailers and RVs and stuff. So,
Yeah. I mean, I think just like, I think a lot of people use those as, you know, travel trailers to travel with things. But then like, an example would be Wrangler Star. Like he has a trailer that they use for taking their dirt bikes or snow bikes around, but then it's all like warmed and insulated and heated and like, you can easily stay in there, you know, like it's plenty of room and it's, you know, comfortable with, solar power and, you know, everything. It's all hooked up to run. Like, I don't think that amount of customization is difficult. You know, I think that's something that we can kind of, we have enough knowledge between the two of us and between, you know, our dad and brothers and friends. And, you know, there's enough knowledge there that all that stuff we could do really well and have like end up with a product that's super cool. That's going to highlight all the people that we get. Like if we get different sponsors for different things, you know, that'd be cool to like have this thing that highlights all these great companies that we like to work with and get cool things from, and then tell other people, show other people how they work, you know. And then you go to an event like Maker Camp, and then we got like, you know, we got your house on wheels, you know, pull up in the camp set, you know, maybe there's a little awning you pull out from one side and then you could do like a camp table and stuff, you know, like, yeah, there's a lot of like cool ideas. And a lot of that stuff is already out there. It's already like either, you know, we're talking about like materials like plywood and 2x4s and, you know, insulation, all that stuff is things that people will just get rid of, you know? So that could be the other angle. It's like, what can we do? How can you do this on a budget? How can you find things and accumulate stuff? And, you know, if you're not on a time crunch to get it done super, super fast, then like, you know, can be done in a way that, again, you end up with a really quality product that you're proud of, but you can do it in a way that like people, like even me, like we have the pop-up camper that has holes all over it and we can't really use it for anything. We just got to get rid of it. But before we do, we could definitely like, you know, cannibalize it and pull things out and get different things that work. And, you know, like there's a lot of stuff potentially in there that is already designed for that type of thing, whether it's wiring systems or lights or, you know, propane heat, you know, there's already things that are there. So I think people are often getting rid of stuff like that.
Well,
so
did you see we got some today someone sent us, they want to send us a RV diesel heater. So I was
diesel
like,
heater. Perfect. I did see that. Yeah. I was so like, how about that?
And be like, well, we'll let you know, but yes, we are. And it won't be this month, but we're going to need one because it's perfect. I saw a bunch of those where you kind of put it inside, but you know, you store it under in a cabinet below somewhere, kind of seal it off pretty good. And then make sure all the exhaust is ran properly. And one of them that they offered was one with the diesel can on the outside, which I appreciated. Because some of them were like all in one. No, I kind of want to strap the unit down, have it run out to where we can have the can on the outside where no diesel smell has to be in, or like you don't want to risk pouring or anything on anything, or or even if you had an all in one thing, you'd like pull it out and fill it up, but it would still get diesel on the outside of it. Then you got to bring that into your space.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So yeah, to have that exterior access. Yeah,
just have a, and then pour, you know, build up a few gallons and then you're good for all weekend. Just to have that on. And if we don't want to do something like that, we could, if we had the electricity for it, you just have a small, tiny space heater that bumps it up.
Right.
You know, we're not picky. If it brings it up from 20 degrees to 50 or 60 degrees, it's like,
right, exactly.
That's, feels like Florida huge, in there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sweat.
Right.
So when we talked last week, you were thinking like two separate areas. So you have these like two soundproof areas, you know, so you still think of the same thing, like have that ability to do something, but then maybe also change it. Like,
yeah. So
I think, I mean, I was going to say, like, I think, you know, even like a single sheet of plywood, not that that's what it'd be, but I think even that is going to create a fairly significant sound barrier between two spaces, you know? So whatever it is, it doesn't have to be like crazy, but it could be something that's foldable or fold down or prop up, you know, like with just something between, I think that creates a pretty decent barrier.
Okay. Here's my thought.
All right.
So if it's a rectangle, right? And then the door is on the, like, you're looking at a rectangle drawn in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Your top is north, bottom is south. Gotcha. So southwest corner has your door, right?
Your short end on the top and bottom?
Huh?
Or long?
Yes.
Rectangle. Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Yep.
So long ways north to south.
Got it.
Southwest, bottom corner is your door.
Okay.
You walk in, turn to your left, and at the back end is your bed, right? Is your big bed. For the couple or for the two brothers who built the thing and run the channel.
Right.
So you have the bed, but what it is it's risen up about 3 feet.
Okay.
Right. So it's a raised bed.
Right.
And then, so you climb up into the bed, not really climb, but you know, and you have that. And on either side, you just make everything equal. So both sides, we put a window in.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides have like an electric unit, you know, something, and both sides have a light.
Right.
So you just kind of have all the stuff on both sides. Mm-hmm. And then we either get a nice foam mattress and cut it in half.
Right.
So then it doesn't really matter. You could have two people, or, you know, you get a foam mattress and maybe you cut, like you said, just enough for plywood. Or my thought was, you know, 1-inch foam that we can paint the, like, it's the rest of the walls. It can be white or whatever. so you don't notice, and it can be easily stored or hung on the ceiling or something when you're not using it. And
yeah, so you have like a track.
And it weighs nothing.
Right, yeah. So maybe it's like if you have, okay, so say we have like 1-inch, whatever, foam board, you know, then it could be like on either side we get some like, you know, Masonite or something. Like I know they sell Masonite with like already white on one side, you know. So then you just kind of you build a frame around it with that, so you have some rigidity to it, but it's still really light. Or Lawan or something, you know, where at most it might weigh a total of maybe 20 pounds or something, you know, in the end.
Something easily, but since it's only half the height of it, you know, it only has to be 4 feet high or whatever the area is. So then, and then if we want to go past that, let's say you have that middle barrier, then you could also have some type of a sliding thing or curtain or something just to give you the last little bit of like privacy. So yeah, so each person has their own little cabin, which I really like.
Yeah, right.
And then, so you're still looking towards the end. So you got that whole thing raised up. Under it, obviously, is offer storage that you can get to from the back or the front. And then how we split that is, you know, up to us.
Right.
So then your right wall, I feel like, is where you have on the bottom is a couch long enough to be a bed. So if it's a 12-foot thing, we're going to have to, you know, the bed gets 6.5 or 6 feet.
Right.
And these bunks get 6, you know, like very, like it has to be right on the edge.
Right.
Yep. Or, yeah, I'm thinking probably 6.5, and they get, like, 5.5. If you're taller than that, then, oh, well, like, you and I are the tall ones, so.
Right, exactly.
But I think it would be great to have two more beds there. So you have the bottom one that's a bed or a couch that doesn't have to move, doesn't have to drop down anywhere because you can use it as a couch.
Right.
And that obviously has storage under it, cabinets or whatever. And then you have one fold-down bunk above it.
Right, so you could have two people in that space.
Yes, so two people can sleep there, whether it's two more guys, if all the brothers, or it's my kids, or your kid and a friend, or whatever it is. And then what room you have on the left is, you know, maybe a wall of some cabinets or whatever, whatever you can kind of fit in there, whatever kind of storage you want. And then, I mean, that takes up almost all your space. So then the front, a lot of these trailers have that nice triangle nose on the front.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So they have that space, and that's where you could put in cabinets and where all your electricity stuff goes in, and any heater system, or any, even if we wanted a little simple sink or something, or a little, like you could have a 4-foot spot there that could have a small sink and a small like electric cooktop or something real simple that you could, without having to go outside, you could make yourself a cup of something, or you could have a small dinner and wash something, you know, or brush
your teeth. Yeah, brush your teeth. Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And that's about it. That's what I'm thinking.
Nice. All right. Yeah, I can see that. Okay. And then, so what about, like, I guess we could do, you know, with, for like, if we want to do a table or something inside, that could all be, you know, just a foldable thing. That
I figure that would fold out. That would fold up down from the left side.
Okay.
So you have the storage and stuff, but you also have the table that folds down, so people can sit on the couch and have access to the table. And then you could have two small chairs or something on either side. And you can have, like we said, we want four people to be able to sit in there and do a podcast if they want.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I'm thinking, like, I just think there's also a lot of options for, like, storage for things, like, above our head. You know, there's not going to be a ton of height. But I think, you know, the way, like, a pop-up trailer, how the door, like, slides up and into the top, into a track. Like, I think that could be, you know, it could be something like that for the divider between the two beds, and then also something like that for, like, maybe a table. You know, basically just have to have, like, a track and then little, like, swivel, you know, latches that hold stuff. You know, I think there's, if we have flat stuff that can go down, that can all go up high, and then you bring it down, bring it up, use it however you want to. But,
And then, and, you know, it's trying to be make a lot with it, but also be minimal, so not overload it with stuff.
Right.
But have just enough to bear. We really just want a place people can sleep dry and comfortable and have a small, like a tiny little cabin that you can take wherever you need it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So you and I wanted to go to anywhere, any events or whatever, it doesn't matter. Go visit someone. Oh, yeah. We're right out here. We're just gonna park out
Here. Exactly. Yeah.
Have a podcast here. Do this, and we'll be everybody will be comfortable.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Maybe we can reach out to Starlink, get a little Starlink internet for that.
Right, and then all the electric. Make sure we run enough lights. Make sure we have to insulate it.
Right.
But all that stuff is pretty simple because it's such a small, it's such a small area.
Yeah.
So run four lights.
Right.
And maybe two by the beds so you can have your own little personal light.
Yeah. I think Joe Robinette just actually recently got a thing like that. It is just like a straight box pull behind trailer, but he has it as a little rigid tent, basically. It just pulls up wherever, and it's got a bed and then a little table on one side, and it's even smaller, right? So it's smaller than what we're talking about, but it is just like walk in the back and there you go. It's all right there. You're dry and indoor and have a little window and stuff. And
right, that is just such a luxury, in my opinion, is to have a warm space to go into,
right?
Take your wet stuff off or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then climb into a little warm nook, where you can just chill, play on your phone for a minute, read a book, and then just kind of pass out. Everyone's comfortable.
Yeah, and you—it's funny. We've kind of been texting back and forth about this over the last couple of days, and you were like, maybe we could have something exterior that's like drops cans out, or you can access beer from the outside. You're like, maybe somehow to pour a beer like a tap. I was like, that could be cool. I did kind of like the idea of like the accessing like beer cans from the outside somehow.
Yeah,
a wall fridge or cooler or something that has like an exterior access. I'm not exactly sure how to do that, but I thought it'd be cool if you open the door and there's like a beer there and then you close it. And then when you open it again, there's another beer, it's like sliding down from above or something.
Yes. So I've thought more about this.
Yeah.
So original idea was a small little door that you open up and a beer, pops out into your hand, and then you close it. And like you said, another one pops out. So I want one.
Right.
I was thinking you could load a tube up inside, right? And it's a tube that moves, like it swings. It's a pivot in the middle. So you can load it up flat, put six in it. When you tilt it up, it's aiming out the bottom door, out the hole you've cut in the side, right?
Yeah.
Now, the trick with that is to get something that, you would need like a special lever door that pushes down, almost like a Pez dispenser. So it pushes one out, but blocks the next one from coming,
right.
And then we close the door. The other one goes, locks down. Now that is the more convoluted system. But then I was thinking, I saw you can 3D print them where you can buy them for like $15. I'd probably buy the metal ones. Is just a, what would you call it? Like in a Z formation. Where you load cans up and they go down, and then come out. It's like something you put in the fridge to store a bunch of cans.
Right.
And they just keep dropping down. You know what I mean? They go down the Z and they drop down to the front.
Right.
So what you would do, my idea is you'd put that in a cooler, have that in there, and then cut, on the bottom of the cooler, you cut out the sides of a can. Mm-hmm. And then you just extend those arms, those little metal arms that stop it.
Right.
You just extend them to the side of the wall, and then that's where your can size hole is on the wall.
Okay.
So they just kind of roll out that way sideways.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking if you have a
box or something, that's there. Like you just open the door of the box and there's a can sitting in there. You just grab it and another one would immediately slide down and take its place.
So that would be inside of a cooler. But it would be okay. Yeah, I like that.
So inside the cooler, so you could also keep those beers. So let's say it loads up 14 beers in the thing.
Right.
Yeah. You put a couple ice packs or some ice in there.
Right.
It will keep them cold, and then as they slide out, they will.
Right. Okay. Is that thing? Is it like self-contained, or is it open to the outside?
It's open. So you would have to do like ice packs.
Right, yeah, instead of ice, you know, I'm thinking of water. You know, you open the door and all the water comes out. Like,
or you just put, or you just put some aluminum in to block whatever ice from sliding out. But I would just do two big ice packs, throw them in there, and then they'll keep them cold for however long.
Long enough, Yeah, I'm just thinking if we did something, you know, like Maker Camp, where we usually fill a cooler with, you know, couple cases of beer or whatever, so we have plenty for the weekend, and then access that, like, you know, I'm thinking, or also if, you know, if we have something that is powered, so if we have power, we could even have like a mini fridge or something, and then somehow customize that to be accessed from the outside as well, you know. So same thing, like that same principle that it goes down, but then that somehow there's like an insulated hole that goes out to the outside, and you open it up and you can get beers from the outside. I love the idea of that. You can grab beers without going inside. It's pretty sweet.
Right. I think, because I don't want to just grab in, because obviously we could just bring a cooler outside if it's hot, or if it's cold, we'll just have, you know, you grab a few and pass them out, or, you know, it's not really it's not a big problem. But it's if you can do it right, it's a fun, interesting thing to have. It's like, it's those stupid things that are cool. Open a door, a beer comes out.
Yeah, it's a novelty.
Right,
yeah.
And then you explain it to whoever you're with. Like, hey, need a beer? Just clunk, clunk, and it comes out like a machine.
Right, yeah.
Anybody else? Tuk, 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 and you're just handing them out. I'm like, whoa. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, you load it up in there. And there's a thing that they kind of travel down a thing, and then they're like accessible.
Right.
By like this little beer mail slot or whatever.
Yeah, that's sweet. I like that idea. And again, like, I like those novelty things that aren't completely necessary, but they're interesting. You know, they make good conversation things, and they make good content. You know, it's like the 100-pound bow, right? It's not necessary. I'm not going to go shoot it at the range, but it's fun to have there and have people like check it out and try it, you know?
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, and you like talking about, you know, having one side like all white.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think, we should keep it whatever color it is, because you don't want it to be too flamboyant and cool, because then people want to rob it. Like, oh, they don't just have, like, whatever landscaping gear in there.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, you got to put, like, some type of thing like that on it, you know? Like, do a decal that's like a blah, 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 you know?
Or like something boring, like a Art of Craftsmanship Paper Company, right?
Oh, yeah. Just like, or like sewage removal company.
Yeah. Right? Yes. Yeah, AOC sewage.
Yeah, right. No one wants to go inside there.
We should do something like that just to scare off the whoever. And just have it white or whatever color it comes in.
Right.
Because there are some really cool ones where they black it all out and the rims are blacked out. They look really... In the front, they got like the steel... The shiny steel on certain parts, like, it's really nice. But I mean, whatever. If we could get one, I would take whatever. But
like you said, and you're running the risk of having someone want to break into it. You know, it's like this cool thing. You know, full of cool stuff.
Right. so that's the idea. We will keep you guys updated with if anyone contact. Well, the first company, I want to give them some time, see if they...
Yeah.
Because I really do want this specific company, if we can get them. If not, we'll reach out to 30 people and then...
See.
Yeah, you know, or if you're listening and you have a trailer and you want to get rid of it and be
stopped. Yeah, there you go.
We'll talk about you and your whatever company you want every episode.
Was it... Eric Rivers from the Rivers Experience. I know he works for like an RV company, sells like RVs, but it's not like his company, but
you get your boss stuff. Well, yeah. Or if that's the thing, it doesn't even have to be if John's if John's RV wants to hook us up with them, we'll be very specific and only shouting them out, like, go down to John's RV, get the best prices, blah, blah, blah. But I would really like to get it from a company and then have them. Go actually see how the sausages made.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be sweet. Yeah. I think, again, that's just one of those things I think we're interested in and that we always thought it would be cool to do on the channel. Let's go to different places and see people make stuff, you know, and highlight that. And, you know, and then, this is like the benefit of getting something cool from it as well, you know, and being able to make more content that benefits both people.
Right. And then if we do it, then we can, then we'll have more, we'll have a better opportunity for us to travel cheaply.
Right. Yeah.
And go visit other places. So that's the type of thing we need where we're just like, hey, we just do gas money and we can run up there and we don't have to stay anywhere. You don't have to pay for hotels. Like all that crap is already, it's like, we can come up there, or if it's a longer drive, we can drive 6 hours and then stay at a Home Depot like parking lot or one of those places that allow RVs and stuff to stay.
Yeah,
we crash in the back for 5-6 hours and then
right. Oh, well, yeah, Walmart parking lot or something, you know.
Right, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be sweet. Yeah, I think most like, I don't know, like get togethers where it's like at someone's place, you know, or like a maker get together or hammer ins, things like that. A lot of those are like camping is welcome. That's, you know, they encourage it. So it'd be cool. It'd be really cool. Man. Yeah. And I like the idea of, having like, we also talked about doing our, brother's travel show. You know, so if we're like traveling around Maryland or the East Coast, that could be another cool thing. You know, although like some of that is like the fun of going and checking out a place and doing stuff there. But if we have that trailer, that could be part of it. You know,
if we're footing the bill, we can. We don't have to buy a hotel or whatever. But so we'll see if they get back to us. If not, or we'll reach out to them one more time. Then we'll just start asking everybody, see if anybody wants to be involved.
Yeah, I like it. It's cool, man.
Get this thing going.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. And I like the idea of it being kind of minimalist, but just like just enough stuff inside to, you know, make it cozy and like warm and
Like, you know, craftsmanship and nice paint can do a lot, right?
Right. Really make it look good. Exactly. Yeah.
hiding seams and a good fresh coat of paint can make it look like a cute little cool little, like, you know, space. And you know, you can put fake vinyl flooring on the floor, stuff like that. That's waterproof and looks nice, looks like wood. Just nice things like that. Maybe we keep the ceiling whatever wood color it is and stain it, and then the sides are white, you know, just a nice clean where it's still warm, but you still get a nice clean look to everything.
Right, and then we can, you know, put in some
blue cabinets or green cabinets or something.
Right,
with darker green trim, just really nice, cheap. Right. They're cheap details, but they're what takes it to a nicer level.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's that again. It's just that eye for the small details and the small things that push it a little bit past just utilitarian. You know, it's like you make it feel a little homey with a few little touches here and there. You know, put up, hang up a painting, you know, or something.
That'd be sweet. Yes. Yeah, just goofy shit.
Yeah, right. But do something, you know, like, I don't know. I was like, I don't know why this popped in my head, but like something like, I don't know, like a Star Wars sliding cabinet or something. I don't know. Just like, you know, kind of interesting things, but not like, not too crazy all over the place, but just interesting little details that would make it fun once you go inside. Yeah.
Right. You want a few of those details you can like point out to people and be like, ah, check this out. Check that out. You open this thing out and 4 podcast, you know, extender poles come down.
Right. Exactly. Oh, yeah, like they're all attached to the ceiling for the mics instead of, like, from the bottom. They're like, they pull it down in front of you. That would be sweet. Yeah, like, there's, like, clips, you know, in the ceiling. You're like, what are these? And then you pull it out and you clip it up to it. And then you got your mic hanging down in front of you.
Yeah, like, all that stuff would be so cool. Yeah. So much fun.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think that is just really cool to think about how we can customize it to make it what we want it, you know. Mm-hmm. And starting with that blank canvas of just the trailer, basically, you know, and start from there. And yeah, that'd be sweet. That's cool. And Nicole and I have been like looking, I mean, that's why we kind of kept Mom and Dad's pop-up, although it didn't really work out the way we wanted to, but we've been thinking like, it'd be really nice to have something fairly, you know, lightweight and simple to pull along to camp inside of. And really like, we enjoy the outdoors. So it's not like we need a, you know, something that we're going to live inside of like a full RV, but it'd be nice to have a warm, dry interior space. So,
I just, Right. You want to be able to, yeah, warm, dry, and be able to stand up, put your clothes on, like right, simple yeah. stuff like that. It's nice and not be worried about wet and being on the ground and your
right
and your air mattress dying in the night and like all that stuff. But no, right, I think yeah. it'd be just enough where you and I split it between the families, you and me, and then yeah. it's just everyone gets a chance to use it for family stuff, and then we get to use it for art of craftsmanship stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be cool. I like it. I was thinking there's like different events like the Primitive Technologies Weekend that the Maryland Parks do, when it's like bow making and flint knapping and, you know, all that type of stuff. We actually just missed it. It was last weekend at the Cromwell Valley Park. But even something like that, like they encourage people to come and stay for the weekend and like camp and stuff. So that'd be, you know, right. be cool to go to some events like that too. Just like, you know, the like bushcraft gatherings and stuff. You know?
Yeah, right, right.
Or we like, just, you know, yeah, like extravaganzas and things, you know.
Right. That'd you just cool. have the, it's having something that helps push you out to do those things.
Right. Yeah.
Go to, like we talked the other week, next year, go to the Renaissance Festival and stay yeah. for 2 days, stay for two nights.
Yeah.
And get like yeah. a behind the scene and do like a whole series of like Renaissance things and bow making and glass blowing yeah. and go around and see how the knights, what their armor's like and how, you know, all that stuff, man, it'll be so much yeah. fun.
Yeah, it'd be cool. And like having, yeah, having that thing makes you a little bit more legit too. Like, here's our trailer that we do this type of thing out of, you know, like,
yeah, we travel to places and poke our noses in business.
Well, people love good, having man. Like I, having stuff shown about them, you know. They like,
I mean, yeah.
They
who doesn't want like if someone came to me and was like, "Oh, I love what you guys are doing. We want to show up and we just want to hang out and like shoot stuff and make content and yeah. just be a part of it." But
yeah, and then highlight you on our channels and stuff. You know, you don't have to pay yeah. anything. It's not going to cost you anything. It's just because we think it's interesting and
yeah, we just want to be around and or just be in the like. You don't even have to pay us attention. Just let us shoot and talk yeah. and chat, and then we'll move on and stay out of your way, stay out of your hair.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it. I like it. So thinking about making videos again, we're actually about to start a new video tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since the, I guess, the laser etcher video, which was 2 months ago, 3 months ago. But it's been a little while.
It came out last week, so it's still fresh
for yeah. you. Yeah.
Which we beat. We beat Dennis Tyrell to it.
Yeah.
Did you see that comment?
No, what is that? I was about to do his laser etcher.
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, I'm just about to put it out." Like, you know, I was like, "Ah, I didn't say anything yet, but we got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right.
Got it." By like 4 days, and he just put his out.
Nice.
But no, yeah, I was really happy with it. Like, yeah. for what it is, I feel like following the process of watching someone discover and learn about it.
Right.
Yeah. And then also seeing how it works in a successful product at the end. I think it's a really interesting video to watch.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the benefit of that type of video is that it's showing people what you can do from start to finish, even as a beginner. You know, it's like open up the box, pull it out, download the app, like all that. The whole first half of that video is all in like a 2 hour time span, you know, and it's only 2 hours because it take some time to film things, you know, like, but otherwise it's like open it up and put it together and download the app and there you go. You can, you know, I just typed in AOC 2023 and laser etched on steel instantly, you know. It was like, there it is. Like, it's super fast and super easy. And I think that the biggest hurdle for anyone buying something new is knowing that it's going to work well, knowing that you're putting your money into something that's actually going to benefit you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people like reviews. That's why people read reviews on things, because they want to hear someone's real honest opinion about it. And that's the benefit of like doing a review video like that, where it's something that I really would use a lot. And so happy to like show an honest review about it. And if it was like really hard to use, that would have been part of the review too. Yeah. You know?
Right, we just got fed up with it. Like, I don't know. It's taking a while. We're trying to figure it out. Like,
right,
we'll see. But no, it worked great, and you figured it out in a few hours. You figured out how to get stuff. Like, you could have been, in a few hours or an hour, I would say, you could have had it set up and you could have been etching on leather quickly and easily. Yeah.
Right.
Because that was like one of the easiest materials. It was like, you know.
Yeah.
As evidenced by Maker Camp, everyone having their own hat.
With, right. With their stuff. Exactly. Yeah.
Because you can bring that thing and just do 20 seconds. Cool. Next. Load it in. Cool. Yep. Next.
So fast. Yeah. It's crazy.
So that is sweet. And that, I mean, so many cool ideas you can do for like a leather sheath or a, like, let's say the knife and fork thing, and you want to make a little design,
right?
Like kitchen utensils, like a funny little thing written on it that you can etch on, like, you know, on right. the leather. Like it's really cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cool product. And its only downfall is the size,
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As much space as you can etch, right? It's like a fairly limited size, but that's, you know, that's, it's also, that's what it's designed for. Yeah. You know, it is that thing. It is for like a small personalization of small objects, or adding like logos and things, or doing, you know, etching smaller things that you're going to give away, like cards or, you know, like keychains and things like that. So,
right. But I think, do you know its max?
Yeah, it's like 30 by 30 centimeters, whatever that is. So, or is that right? 30
4 30? Centimeters is an inch. But that is, it
maybe it's 30 millimeters, 30 by 30. It's like a, almost like a 2.5 by 3, something like that. That's kind of the rectangle.
Okay.
Because I did the two brass plaques on the hammer that I made, the persuader hammer. Mm-hmm. And that size of those plaques was pretty much its max. Mm-hmm. And those were 2.5 by 3.5, I think.
Hey, by the way, who got your hammer? Do you know him, or was it?
I do know who it was, and I guess I hadn't told you this, but so I didn't tell you the story of like the
no, because we didn't even go into the maker swap at all.
Ah, okay. So, so I you know, was there. I ended up turning my stuff in maybe the second or third day or something. Like it was a little bit of a weird time when I got a chance to go over because I was also demoing. But I walked over.
They were sleeping, and you're like, "Here's my hammer." Oh my god, this is not the
it's not the right time. We literally talked about this multiple times.
Why are you in the bathroom?
Weird. No, it was a time. It was just like there weren't a ton of people there, and so I like went in and dropped it off and was hanging out with Keith a little bit and chatting, and he gave me a new Working Ants podcast shirt, nice dark gray shirt with the Working Ants podcast on it. I was wearing one of his shirts during a demo, which they were really appreciative of. They were like, "Yeah, seen our shirt in the wild being used."
It's like, yeah, because no one knows who you guys are while you're here.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's, yeah, you know, like we do.
We see you.
But yeah, so I turned in my hammer, and then I think I told you that Stephen DeForest, maybe I can't remember if I told you or not, but Stephen DeForest from DeForest Axe and Tool, he was there doing leather work for like axe masks.
Okay, cool.
And right. And so he actually reached out to me a couple days before asking about the maker swap and asking like if he's not going to be on there. He wasn't going to be there Sunday, so he wasn't sure if he'd be able to pick anything up. And I was like, well, no, if you're not there, like you have to be there to get your item. And what I said was like, either you have to be there or your ticket has to be there. Right. So that's like, they're not policing who gets things. It's just,
if they have the ticket. Care. Yeah.
Yeah. If you have the ticket, you can get it. So I just told Steven, I was like, you can just give me your ticket, you know, whatever, turn your item in, give me your ticket and I will get your item and then I'll ship it to you. So he did that, and actually it was funny because he gave it to another guy. Yeah, right, exactly. He gave it to another guy who was looking for me, and so I found him, and actually Sean found him and got the ticket, which got back to me. So I had my ticket and I had Steven's ticket, and I had like written on his like his name and stuff, so I knew which one was which. So then when they do the swap, you know, you kind of walk up and you just hand them your ticket, and they go back and they grab your item. They grab the item that matches it and they bring it to the front.
Wait, please tell me, like, you got that DeForest got the coolest item. It's like, Jimmy DiResta's first, like, something. He's only made one, and he made a video about it, and then what happened?
Actually, it was a really cool. Jimmy put in his fake Black Raven, one of his fake Black Raven accents. Oh, cool,
right on. That's awesome.
Which was really cool. I saw that. I was like, Black Raven. I was like, wait, it's. And then I saw it was like Jimmy DiResta's, like,
dude, you know, a DiResta Black Raven is probably is worth even more
cooler than
the,
I know,
the
yeah.
Black Raven.
That's what I was saying. I was like, hell yeah, I'd rather have the DiResta Black Raven. So I go up and I have my two tickets, and I'm like, okay, these are mine. I'm picking up one for Stephen DeForest, and they're like, no problem. So I give them the two tickets. They walk back, and they come walking back with my hammer, and they're like, here you go.
You like,
so Stephen DeForest won my hammer.
Hey, nice.
I was like, no way, it's crazy. And so, yeah, they come back and they're like, this is for this ticket. I'm like, that's so I like,
so
I
it was win, for his ticket. You like, you didn't
it
win
was.
Your own thing.
No,
you
it was probably just it was definitely it anyway. For his. Yeah. And then I got this nice maple box.
I saw
yeah,
that.
Made,
that was
made
cool.
From Gary Colum. It was really nice. Yeah, like beautifully made. And I actually ended up talking to him about it. And he said he was at like a, I don't remember if it was like apple picking or Christmas tree or pumpkin patch or something like that with his family. And there was this big pile of firewood. And then in the firewood was this beautiful curly maple. And so he asked the guy if he could take like a piece or two. And the guy let him take some. He's like, I should have taken the whole pile. But it sat in his shop for a couple of years. And then he ended up milling it down and making the box out of it. And it was a really, really beautiful box. So. But yeah, it was like, it was crazy. So I like, then I have my hammer, the big, you know, big persuader mallet and the box, and I'm walking back and people, and like six or seven people were like, did you win your own hammer? Like, did you win your own hammer? Like, no. But it was crazy. So I took a picture and sent it to Steve, and I was like, hey, look what you won. I was like, completely crazy. And then like a day or two ago, Keith Drennan from Working Hands Podcast actually sent me a message because he had posted a video of the swap, like the actual swap part where like, and it was like, you know, sped up. So he filmed, you know, like 100 people walking by. Oh, and nice. So it was like a time lapse of a bunch of people. And there's me like walking up and walking away with my mallet. And he sent me a message. He was like, did you win your own mallet? So I told him the story. He's like, that's crazy. Like, what a weird coincidence.
Right?
But yeah. Yeah, I would have been more bitter if it was like if Steven had won like the thing that I had looked at that I really wanted, you know.
Yeah, like yeah.
That's
like
why that's why I don't look. Like it's cool to look, but it's like it's too much.
Yeah, you don't
you
want
know?
To get your yeah, hopes up. Like it's yeah. all you don't unless like we always said, if it's something lazy and lame, then you can be disappointed. Right. But you don't want to be disappointed by something that's great on its own. Not compared against right. the best thing that you right. think you might want there, or like. But I will say the images I saw. I feel like did people step their game up? Like, I felt like I feel like a yeah. lot of stuff. Maybe it's just because I was seeing the best stuff.
Yeah, I mean, but I think
through Instagram, it's like really good stuff.
Yeah, I didn't really see anything that was like. That was not like I didn't see anything that looked like it didn't take time, you know, like there were obviously different things like but everything it looked like people put time and effort into it or they put like, you know, it's a thing that they really like to do or something that they're like, know. You know, like I know that it's funny. Shane Mooney put in another like leather koozie with the brass and it said like Maker Camp 2023. Right. And so I saw him later talking to the girl that won it. And I like walked over and I had my koozie with my beer in it, you know, like that night. And I walked over and like, cheers. And I was like, look, Maker Camp 2022. Like, I got Shane's from last club. Year. Right. Exactly. I was like, man, this is going to be great. Like if this comes back each year, you know, so something like that, I was like, this is a really cool thing. It's a really awesome item that I actually really like and something that Shane really enjoys doing. And someone else, I forget who it was, like someone was giving him a little bit of crap, like, what, you made the same thing 2 years in a row? I was like, no, that's cool. Now it's like a thing, you know. Like you can get chains,
right.
Like
you have to have like number, like next year will be three of three.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Exactly. Great. Maker Camp 20. Yeah, right. 2024. Three of three.
Sean is just trying to flood the market. Now he's going to come back with a 12 pack next year. He's like, everyone's going to have these.
He has. Yeah, there are a ton of people that were interested in his stuff where he's actually, he already like updated his plans so he can like sell different like levels of it. So he can sell like all the digital plans. If you want to buy it, you can then laser cut everything. It's all ready to go. And he's also thinking about how he can do like a package where you can get all the pre-cut stuff and all the hardware, but not mm-hmm. made, and he'll send that mm-hmm. to you. Or it could be like a kind of simple version, or like a more modified, more customized version. So he has like different levels of things, and he's trying to work out the margins and stuff, and see if it's like reasonable for him, you know, or realistic for him to make it and do some. But I think he's doing it. It's something that's like a super cool idea. Like, you know, again, that's that like the leather koozie idea, but the fact that you can snap it together and make a six pack.
Yeah, you, like it's, walk up I, and break I will it apart. Say, yeah, it's one of those ideas that. Like the beer, like thing that comes flying out. You don't need it. No one needs
right,
it.
Right, right.
Obviously, yeah. Everyone has koozies, and half the time you don't need koozies. And then also, the fact that you bring it, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, I only got five of my koozies. And yeah, like right. drunk Uncle Mike, like, where'd he go with my fifth? Like, I'll never get right. that exact koozie back. Like, I need the koozie with the snaps on the side. Where is it?
Right, yeah.
And then you find it in the light in your yard the next day. Like, oh, it's right here under the table.
Yeah. Right. But, so it's like that novelty thing.
But it is
yeah.
a cool thing to do, to show up with the, like this yeah. leather like thing, like snap on off, be like, boom, there right. you go.
And you I saw, think you I don't should... know if you saw the picture that Gary, who made the box for me, got Sean's leather
koozie. Oh, right,
for.
Right, right.
It was like a weird, like, it was crazy.
What
like,
he needs...
weird coincidence.
He needs it to be like... Are they numbered at all? That'd be cool. Because then you could track down, like, hey, I'm missing
right. Yeah, four. And he thought about that, right? So there's all sorts of different modifications you can do. What he did for that one was that he had each one was laser etched on one side with his logo and the other side with the Maker Camp logo. Mm. So he had them all, like, and then, you know, some of them were his logo facing out and some of them were the Maker Camp logo facing out. But we had that same idea. It could be, like... It could be shapes, you know, like triangle, square, hexagon, you know, and then you have like matched up that way yeah. or numbers or
colors, something like
or colors. Something. Right. Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of because leather yeah. is so like easy to stamp and customize, you know, laser etch or do like, you know, tooling and stuff. You can do lots of variations. You can have like, you know, one that's like. A little turtle symbol, and then there's like a turtle shell pattern etched into it, and then there's like a bird symbol, and then there's like wing pattern. You know what I'm saying? There's like a ton
yeah,
of cool ways.
One, yeah, right. Like or like you said, shapes. So it could be all circles or all triangles or squares.
Right.
Or,
yeah.
Or you could even go as far as like it could be a game that goes along with it. Like mm-hmm, each one mm-hmm. says something, or each thing corresponds to a team. Like,
right.
All
right. Yeah.
Now, if you've got one with a one on it. There's three ones and there's three twos, or
yeah.
Then you, all of a sudden, right away, you've got a team and a game. It's like
right, it's exactly.
Like, you know, just make yeah. it like it's a conversation piece. Then it's a conversation starter. Like
right,
cool. Yeah. Now right away, now you took one, right? Okay, here we go. Now we're gonna play this like right. this thing that comes with it. And on the middle piece of leather could be like rules for whatever mm-hmm. you're playing. Like yep. All of a sudden, it becomes like a guide.
And because it's so like customizable, it could be, you know, different people's names, or it can be mm-hmm. like your favorite sports team, and you know, all the leather could be dyed blue and red, you know, like there's just
right.
it's such a versatile platform that it can be really used, you know, for any type of modification, which is the cool part about it, you know. Or you could also just sell it plain, right? It's just like the straight plain leather koozies, and you know, in brown, and you know, it's just the classic look. Like, so it has it's a really versatile, like I said, a versatile platform to build on top of. It's yeah, cool. It's a cool idea. I like it.
So we'll do that. We got our blacksmithing tomorrow and
yeah. I'm really excited to do that because like with the, you know, we're thinking about doing the cutlery stuff. I think that's something that I like the idea of creating, a shape that is fairly simple, but also like clean lines. And I don't know. I think like my aesthetic in knife making can come out in blacksmithing as well. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always have to be a knife, where although I do think it's like interesting to have, you know, a knife fork spoon combination, you know, it's like, I'm just as excited about forging out a spoon and a fork as I am forging out a knife. So I think that'd right. be really cool. And actually the idea of doing a knife is a little bit more stressful than the other two, because the other two don't need to be heat treated or anything like that. You know, the knife takes a little bit more time. But it can also be, you know, because it's not necessarily, a hard working bushcraft knife. The level of perfection I need for like a heat treat,
right,
can be a little less, right? And so it's
I feel like you want to make it hearty too, because you could do like a bit serrated. You could it's not going to be a perfect sharp edge, or it will, but you want it a little bit thicker, like a normal knife that you use with a knife and a fork. It's not a steak knife.
Yeah,
A slightly serrated, you know, slightly sharp, but you're not going to cut yourself on a butter knife. So you're basically trying to make a butter knife.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's got to be sharp enough to say, like, cut through a steak, you know,
but that's a steak where the, is that's a, where the serrated edge, you know, you do a, you just take your grinder,
but
you're not going to do serrated.
I know what you mean. No, I don't think so.
But you need to, if you cut through something, you usually need like a something serrated.
No, that's why you use a sharp knife. Because you don't need serrations. I'm not cutting through bread. Maybe I am cutting through bread.
Exactly. But so maybe if you cut through steak, you get a steak knife and they're serrated. If you cut through bread,
that's because restaurants don't want to sharpen their steak knives.
Yeah, what's wrong with a serrated knife? You could do big, I think it's more utilitarian, it's more broad.
I don't think so.
Like you said, if you want a sharp knife to slice, you have your EDC. You have your nice knife. I think if you want something to be like a broad food package, you should. I mean, and it could be very, very small. What's the plural?
Serrations. Yeah, but that's the thing. I think that serrations are more narrow. Like they do a more narrow job on stuff. I think just a regular knife is going to be a more broad thing.
Maybe.
But either way, like, you know, I think I like, there's actually a really awesome blacksmith who does all sorts of really cool things with you know, more decorative like hair pins and all sorts of different stuff, but he also makes a really cool knife, fork, and spoon set that I've seen him do for a long time. So his fork and spoon his spoon and his knife are kind of the basic thing that you would normally do, but the fork is a pretty cool design, so I think I want to try that design out for mine, and then I'll shout him out in the video. His Instagram is Hammer Forge Creations, so does some really cool stuff. But
all right, so it's gonna be a 6-day shoot. Here we go.
Well, that's, you know, it's gonna be three different things. So yeah, fork, spoon, knife, and awesome. I was at the Renaissance Festival last weekend, and actually right before we left, so Nicole and Kren and I stayed for the very last joust. So there's like the last ones at 6 o'clock, and then everything pretty much just shuts down after that. And so after the joust, we went around to the other side, or we were on the, like, we were on the far, on like the side
the singing? Closest
to. For the singing. No?
No? All right.
What do you mean?
They have the music on the one side of the joust. They were that, like, that stage.
Yeah, yeah. So that's on like the far end of it. That's the end that's closest to like the entrance. But on the side that's closest to the parking lot, there's that side that's like against the wall there, where like there's the armory and the bow stuff. But then, you know, not the side that's closest to the rest of the Renaissance Festival, but right there, that other side, that's where like the swords and knife booth is. That's always there.
Yeah.
You know, and you can buy like the, you know, full size swords and replicas of things and whatnot. And so we went over there. We're just checking out the, like, we were kind of more looking for like dagger type stuff, like maybe an interesting, like, you know, costume piece or whatever. Cause they're all, a lot of it's like Chinese bought stuff, you know, so you can buy them for $20 or $50 bucks or whatever. It's not like, not like some of the booths where these are people who are actually making their stuff and selling them for a couple hundreds of dollars, you know? Mm-hmm. So we were just looking through, and I saw a little set, and it was like, had a sheath. And so it held like a blacksmith style knife. So like metal handle. And then it had a single spike that was like in the front. So almost like an eating, you know, like a fork, but just a single tine, you know, it was kind of had a twist to it. And it was like, and just the leather sheath. So they were stacked, you know, the knife was behind and the like spike was on the front. It was just like a really nice package. It looked really nice, really clean. So
was it just a knife and a spoon or no?
It was just a knife, just a knife and the spike, like a sinker poking.
Is that what you're going to try to do, a poker?
No, I want to do it. I want to do a two-prong fork.
Okay.
Yeah, so a two-prong fork, and then the way I'm thinking about doing that is following the design of the Hammer Forge Creations, and I'll show you more about that. It's hard to explain through a podcast, but it's cool. So, and then, you know, same thing, like the spoon, fairly simple handle, but like just a few cool things. I think, just, I've seen a lot of different inspiration. I've been kind of looking over the last few months with doing that type of thing in the forge, like, you know, forging out those kind of simple utensils and things like the spatula and the spoons. I've been looking at a lot of different ones. So there's some cool ones out there. And so I got a lot of inspiration from a lot of different places. So I'm excited to put together a single set that all kind of works together.
Do you want to do a leather thing for it in this video?
I think it would be really cool to do a leather thing, and I'd like to do that. I just don't know how it'll go. I don't know the design yet, and I kind of have to have the utensils first to do the design. So that could be something where we just do a follow up video and build a leather, you know, thing for it right afterward. So, because I would like to have them all in one thing where I could like wear that, you know, on my belt. So it's like fork, knife, spoon, like a little cutlery set, but obviously things can't be too big, because then you're like carrying this giant thing, you know, so it's got to be like a personal size things that kind of work and that are maybe the spoon's a little bit flatter than a typical spoon, or maybe it's more like a normal, you know, spoon that you get out of your drawer as opposed to like a ladle or something like that, right? It's just a, you know, just the right shape. So we'll see. Yeah, so I'm excited. That'd be fun. I love doing smaller forgings like that that are about detail and, you know, kind of hammer control and things like of that.
What are you gonna? Are you gonna do it out of just whatever stock steel you have?
Yeah. What I was thinking, it might be an interesting angle is to do it like out of scrap stuff. So I have a whole bucket full of scrap. Right. Some of it's old files. Some of it's old like, you know, small pieces from knives, some of it's, you know, like railroad spikes. I just have a big bucket of scrap. So like, okay, what can we make out of scrap? Because the spoon and the fork don't need to be high carbon. They can be anything. The knife will have to be at least something relatively high, or even like a spring steel or something that is hard enough that it'll like, that I can do a little heat treat and it'll hold a little bit more of an edge. So, and I think I'm just going to do for like the temper, I'll just do a torch temper. So just heat up the back of the spine of the knife until I get the, like the golden, you know, the straw color, and then quench it. So it's right at that, you know, it'll hold at that. And so kind of a quicker temper, which is kind of interesting to do. It'd be fun. But yeah, cool. I thought that might be kind of an interesting angle. Like, let's look through the scrap bin. What can you make, you know, out of just random things that you get around? Cause I have like, I also have, coil springs from car, you know, so I could,
oh, nice.
That's you know, that spring steel will work for a knife. It's hard enough to hold, you know, to heat treat and hold an edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how far what's your guess on how far we can get tomorrow?
I would say, so my other thing that I was thinking is it might be kind of interesting to do all three at the same time. Right. So like have three pieces in the fire. So I'm like constantly moving. Now, the only problem with that is my own strength. Right. Cause that's just like my arm tires out from hammering over and over again with a 2.5 pound hammer.
It's smaller stuff though. If you can get, if you can start with thin steel,
right,
you don't have to do a lot of flattening. Like it's already kind of where you want it.
Right.
That would be cool. And then we could get that done quick.
Right, exactly. I was thinking, you know, because if you're making a set and you want them to all look the same, like work on them at the same time. So you have the same type of, you know, the hammer blows are the same. Everything is kind of, you know, then it feels like it's come from the same batch, right? It's all the same one thing. And I always like having two projects in the fire when I can, because then I'm not just waiting for that piece to heat up.
Yeah, that's what kills our shoots, is just like do it and then wait.
Yeah,
wait. Yeah. All right, 10 minutes of
nothing. And some of that is just, that's blacksmithing. Like, you just have to wait for the steel to heat up.
You're right,
you know,
right.
You know. But also, once the forge is hot and once steel goes in and out and you're working it and you're like, you're not quenching it each time. So it's not like it's got to heat up from cold. You know, you get it back in the forge. And if, you know, usually if I'm working two different things, I put one thing in, I pull the next thing out, work on that, you know, however 10, 12 blows, put that back in the forge and the other thing's hot and I can pull the next thing out. Right. Mm-hmm. So I figured if I have three things going, then, it should work. It should be kind of interesting to kind of keep those things flowing together. Like, all right, next up is the hammer. Next up is the knife. Next up is the fork. You know, and like depending on, you know, kind of thinking about the order of operations and, you know, what steps I'm going to do in what order so I can, you know, do it efficiently.
Right. when you accidentally cut the spoon in half because you think you're doing a
fork. Right. Yeah, right down the middle. Oh,
now I have a spork.
Right, exactly. Hey, there you go. Yeah, there's an
just,
idea.
You don't have to make two. Just make a spork and a knife.
Spork. Yeah, right. A double pointed spork.
Yeah, that'd be dangerous to eat or soup with.
Yeah, right. Or do like a spoon on one side and a fork on the other side. Ooh. You know, so it's like the end to end.
Wait, a what? A spoon? Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, one side of the handle is a spoon and the other side's a fork, right? So it's
That's not bad. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I don't think I want to do that now because I already have an idea of what I want the fork to look like and it's different, but I do like the idea of that. I think that might be kind of cool to forge something like that out in the future. A double-ended, a spife, or no, what's that? I guess that's just a spork. We're not adding it's not a spoon. Yeah,
you don't want a knife, a knife spoon.
Yeah, right.
All unless it's a butter grab it. Yeah.
Don't use that side.
That's Dustin rough. Didn't want to serrate it. He made it sharp as shit on one side.
Right, because it's a knife.
Because it's an eating knife, which should be serrated.
That's insane. Ridiculous. No.
I'm all for serration.
Serrations.
Serendipitous.
All right. So... what do we got for recommendations? I think we're ready to wrap it up. I will say that, again, I'll shout out Hammerforge Creations. He does some really cool stuff, and his name is Lucas Damon, but that's Hammerforge Creations on Instagram. I have another recommendation, so you can...
No, you go.
Okay. So my other one is another... blacksmith, and like I said, over the last couple months, because I've been doing these different things, I'm kind of interested in that type of, like, a useful forged item. One of the guys that I've watched quite a bit of, who has a kind of a nice, elegantly filmed YouTube channel, is Alex Pohl Ironworks on Instagram and YouTube. Alex Pohl, he's a British blacksmith, and like Steve House and a few of those guys all used to work in his shop. Steve was at Maker Camp, that's Moonshine Metalworks, and he actually stayed with Chris for about a month and a half or so, or month leading up to Maker Camp, and then was there at Maker Camp. So
hey, did Chris go to Renaissance Festival?
I know that he went at some point this year, I think, but I didn't.
I know you were talking about maybe meeting up and saying hi, but
yeah, well, that time, that second time we were going to go, I think that's when it was canceled and we pushed it back. I actually saw Trevor, who is, his Instagram is Dusty Squeak, and we've met him a couple times at Maker Camp. I saw him again at the Renaissance Festival. Do you remember, so he's the one who's got like the long beard, he's got dreads. He's usually helping like in the Coal Forge area.
And did he have the Old Bay thing?
Yeah, exactly. Right on. The little Old Bay holster. Yeah, he gave me one when we were at Renaissance Festival. He was like, you have one of these? I was like, no. And he like took it right off his belt and gave it to me. I was like, hell yeah. It was awesome. So that's like now up in my little seasonings area in my kitchen. And so with the holster attached to it, you got the little Old Bay holster.
I mean, you got to take it to Maker Camp in Renaissance Festival next time.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was funny. I did put it right on my belt at Renaissance Festival, but I had like all the like leather stuff on and all the gear that matched, and that's like it's 3D printed, but it's from like white filament, so it's all white with the like, you know, Old Bay can in it.
You want to show it off a little bit.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I told him, I think 2 years ago, I told him, I was like, all right, next year you need to bring a full-size traditional can.
Yeah, right.
You know, you got to have like the deluxe.
There was a guy at the Renaissance Festival who was Captain Maryland, I think it was, or Maryland Man, and he was wearing like a skin tight full suit that was a Maryland flag, you know, like a whole like body suit, and he had a helmet and like almost like a Captain America helmet and a shield, and the shield was a crab, like a big crab, and it had like the Maryland flag. Oh, and then he had a whole holster, like a belt that had like three or four different cans, like a different size cans of Old Bay. And he's wearing that walking around Mr. Maryland.
I love so it so funny. Much. It's so much fun. Are they done at the end of October? What's their,
yeah, I think this weekend is their last weekend.
Shit on me.
Yeah. yeah.
Yeah. No, I couldn't do it this year. Next year for sure. Next year, let's try to get something going with them. Let's reach out to people and see if we can get in there. Because I hate missing it. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
It's such a quality event. and mm-hmm. all the buildings they have and the space they have is so well done. Well, I mean, I've never been to another one, but I feel like right. this has got to be one of the good ones. The way it's in yeah. the woods and the way it's all the buildings are there and all the amphitheaters and like everything. It's you feel yeah. like.
You feel like you're in the time, right? Yeah, like once it's and once great. You go through the gates, like you can't see out, right? Everything is like self-contained, and like you said, it all like up and down hills and the woods, and there are trees, and all the buildings have been there for 20 years or whatever. So things have moss growing on them.
It feels like a really fun festival, like it should be. Right. Like it's
yeah,
where there's 15 or 10 stages, all types yeah, of different stuff, right. like music and people and jugglers and comedy acts and musicians and like
right. people walking away selling, you know, around selling like food from little carts, or they're carrying things, or
it's yeah. so much fun.
Yeah, there was Nicole and I were walking at one point, and we actually went with the Greens and the Porters and all of our kids. Like, we all were there. So it was a big group of us, plus our other friend Andrew. And at one point, Nicole and I had kind of broken off. We were grabbing some food, and we were kind of just walking along. And Nicole was saying how usually when she's at events where there are tons of people, it like it gets to her. You know, like eventually she's like, it's just she doesn't like the crowd. She doesn't like the, you know, all the different people with the different attitudes, and like she's like, but that never like it never bothers her at the Renaissance Festival because everyone's there, everyone's like having so much fun. And yeah. like, yeah, like sometimes there's long lines for food or areas are packed yeah, and there's tons like, of people, but yeah, everyone's in such a good mood, and yeah. you know, it's just it feels right for that environment, you know. You like, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
I just you know, just passed by the Thor's hammer stage and just, you know, critiqued everyone's hammer form, who was not doing well.
You didn't take a swing?
I did this year, yeah. The last, right before we left, as we were walking out, I was like, I'll go ahead and do it, you know. But it's like the $3 for 5 swings, so I obviously hit the bell all 5 times. It was my challenge to do it at the very end of the night when like theoretically I've heard, like in my mind, I think they like turn it up over throughout the day, so it gets harder and harder.
Right.
But yeah, got all 5 bells and got my little necklace with the little leather square with the star punched in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got one.
That's how it's done. Yeah. But no, it's fun. But yeah, going back to my recommendation, Alex Pohl Ironworks. He does some like he does axes and kitchen cutlery and knives and all that sort of stuff. But it's all kind of that like, you know, what a blacksmith would have done to make tools and useful things for the community. But how would you do that these days? You know, so like. You know, cookware, things that are more common, like, you know, things like cookware, like a pan and knives and butter knives and forks and, you know, spatulas and things like that and coffee scoops and all. But he has the YouTube channel is really nice. So I like his work.
Sweet.
So there you go. Yep.
Cool. I'll recommend a show I'm watching with Caitlin right now.
All right.
The Fall of the House of Usher. You know what that is?
Nope.
Does that title sound familiar?
Yes. I mean, it sounds familiar as in I recognize the name, but I have not. I don't know what the theme is.
Well, it's a horror show, but it's based off of, real loosely based off the works of Edgar Allan Poe.
Ah, nice. That's cool.
I wouldn't watch it with your kids.
Yeah.
It's very, a lot of nudity, a lot of gore. Gore's not so bad, but a lot of nudity and stuff. Right. So, you know, okay. You might want to earmuffs or watch it on your own, or, you know, like the second episode, there's like this orgy scene. I'm like, man, like I didn't see that coming. Like the first episode's scary,
right?
But I didn't see orgy scene in second episode. So it'd be a little awkward to watch with, you know, let's say your 13-year-old daughter.
Yeah, like right. Exactly.
So watch it on your own. But it's really good so far. Really cool, creepy. Nice. And basically, it's this family, but I think each episode, I've seen 3 now, each episode's going to be a kid in the family dies, because it starts out saying, this guy's like, all my kids have died this week, and he's under investigation. So each one is like, kind of uses a different Edgar Allan Poe poem or story.
That's cool.
And kind of has it work into a modern version. So they're each like these their own little stories.
Nice. Sweet.
But it's awesome. It's really well done, and through three episodes, we're enjoying it, so check it out.
Nice. What's what platform is that on? What channel?
Netflix.
Netflix. Sweet.
And cool. I think it's like number one or two right now on like top shows, especially, you know, it's October, but it's like,
yeah,
it's good stuff.
Nice. Yeah. Nicole's not a fan of like scary stuff. So she's never like, you know, she likes thrillery things, you know, she likes that type of thing, but not necessarily.
Yeah. It's a little, scary. Yeah, there's definitely like scary bits and some jump scares, but mostly I don't even. It's kind of like an interesting thing, like,
right.
Other than the few jump scares, it's not that bad.
Right. Yeah. And I like, you know, the fact that it has a theme, right? It's like they're all Poe based, right? So you know Poe has that kind of theme in his work, is that kind of, you know, intense kind.
It's going to be dark.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I think
people die in weird ways.
Right. I think that would be something that Nicole would be more into rather than just like a, you know, crazy, like demonic possessions or something, or, you know, like where it's like, you know, I'm not interested in that, but yeah.
Right.
Sweet. That's cool. It sounds good. I'll watch it.
Yeah. No, it's cool.
I was like, Netflix, we're definitely into it.
Yeah. Watched our third episode today and that's what we're going to be doing for the next how many days? Cause we got the kiddo. We're home, even though worked yesterday, and I'll do the Ravens game this Sunday. And man, I'll tell you before we go, dude, penises. Oh my gosh, and ball sex. It's terrible to clean up after, and to like, he's peed on himself.
Oh, you're that's your, so I'm like, what are you times. Talking about? I was like, is this about the fall of the House of Usher? Is this about football? I was like,
I'll tell you like, what,
jumped penises. Into the penises and ball
sex. How about those penises? Huh? Weird stuff. No, but no, with Grant, it's just, what a mess. Girls are so much easier.
Sorry, that's what I thought, too. I mean, so, you know, I had not a boy, but...
No, so much
easier. Now you have something to compare it to.
It's just, and he... I mean, he's peed while we're changing his diaper, like, 10 times so far in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so like, you get that cold air, wall, you know, bam.
Hit the wall, hits his face. Like peas on everything. You're just like, no, it's just going.
Yeah, you gotta get the PPT piece. You know?
We do. I think we have what PPT.
The PPTP.
But I've got it down. It's like beat the clock. I'm like, all right, here we go. This one's ready and go. Like, but there's also a little a hack. I don't know. I mean, it's worked so far, but it's only been a few times where you wipe the cold wipe on their belly first.
Yeah, right.
So any pee, hopefully he gets out right then, and then you pop it off and do the old penis
switcheroo.
Well, fire hose is so annoying. You shoot all over wherever. Crazy.
Yeah, they're annoying now, but they'll come in handy in the future. Mm-hmm. I hope you like this when you get older.
You'll piss on yourself anymore.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, you don't have to worry about, like, you know, peeing, and you have to go somewhere. You're just like, all right, here, let's go over to a bush. Go ahead and let it rip.
Right. And I would say the worst part, too, with a boy's circumcision is that you have to keep it clean, and you Vaseline kind of the front of the diaper.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't absorb well.
Oh, man, yeah.
You know, because it needs to, because you don't want any
abrasion.
Injured part catching on a dry piece of, so you had to, and we're actually almost done that bit, and
that's good.
He's looking good. He's much better than the first few days. Kate and I were like, I kept calling, I was going to call Drew, but I called Guy because he already had a boy.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this thing look this bad? Like, this is rough. Like, should we get poor little dude? That's the worst part.
Yeah.
You feel so bad, and you can't do anything for him. There's no pain pills.
Right,
For getting your wiener cut for a baby, it's just like, that's what it is. We're going to Vaseline it, and hopefully it doesn't stick to anything, and we're not going to touch it.
Yeah.
But it's just,
you're not going to remember
this wound. So. Right. Yeah. So I felt bad for him, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even want to make fun of him when he's older. So,
yeah, right. Got to look like dad, right? That's what I always. That was like in all the years of like different people, my friends, and different people having kids. It's always like, you know, just whatever dad has, the boys have. So they look.
Yeah,
like
and that. I heard an old. Well, there's arguments against him, and it's fine and whatever. Yeah. But one was like, you don't get the same sensitivity, and I was like, look, guys don't have any problem with sensitivity.
Right, exactly.
We all do just fine every single time. Right. Like, there's no, like, I didn't get there. You'll be fine.
Yeah, right, exactly.
we enjoyed enough. You don't need anything, like...
Yeah, I don't need to be extra sensitive down there. Right. Quick enough as it is.
Yeah, right? we're good. We're good with time here.
Yeah, right. A little bit less sensitivity actually might be kind of good.
Right, yeah, yeah. Burn something off. Get a grinder down. What?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Take some skin off. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about that. But
penises.
Penises, huh? That's my recommendation.
Don't have a boy.
Yeah, right? Oh.
That's funny. Cool. All right, well.
That won't be the title of this week's podcast.
Penises and ball sex. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening. Make sure you head over to YouTube, check out the new video on the Laser Pecker 3. That was kind of cool. And then I was actually able to like etch all of my the sheep shear knives, which I did say in the video that they'll be for sale, which I had forgotten I said. And I'm glad that I was just not being very good with getting everything up and posted, because then when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, I did say they'd be for sale. So I'm glad I didn't sell everything or put them all up before the video came up. So, those will be there. So, and you can find any, things like that on Instagram. So I'll put things up on Instagram for sale. Those, sheep shearing knives, but yeah, check out the video and let us know what you think. Maybe comment, like, and subscribe if you have not already. That's, where we want everyone to head over there, check out those videos. And then, if you want to support us even further, you can always go to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship and you can support us there. And we appreciate all that support. All goes back into the channel. Hopefully, we'll maybe put some of that stuff into a sweet, like, bro drop trailer.
Bro drop. The bro drop.
The bro drop. Nice.
And yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah, and all you right. know, if you provide us with a trailer, we will let you sleep in one of the bunk beds. So
there you go. All right. Yeah. You'd be able to maker. Like, joining us this year at Maker Camp is blah, 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 blah. Nice. There's your sponsored like level. In the
Yeah. You can trailer. Listen to me snore all night and see if the barriers
like this, be like, this wait, there's sucks. No barrier at the foot of the bed. Damn.
Everyone snores loud. They stink. They're big.
They're big.
Like, ugh. I'll sleep in a tent outside, thanks.
Yeah, I'd be all right. I was thinking it'd be kind of cool if we got one of those rooftop tent things, you know? Like, get one of those companies to it. Then you got a tent on the roof, and then you got the interior. Oh, it'd be sweet.
We can have 10 people in that bed.
I know, exactly.
Someone in the truck bed.
Yeah, we can house just the whole tent city. Just everyone. Just, like, tents popping out from all directions.
This is a 22-person trailer.
It's a 6x12-foot trailer. It's like a clown car.
Right.
All right. All right, Devin. It was a pleasure. Everybody else, thank you guys all for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.